Welcome to Persistent Broads, where we sound off on the news, politics, and culture affecting women across the state, country, and beyond. I'm Lauren McNeil, and this week, it's just me. But not for long, because I did sit down with Jamie Birch Elliott from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Iowa to talk about fat feminism. Take a listen. I am really excited to announce our first guest, Jamie Birch Elliott from Planned Parenthood Voters of Iowa, who's going to be talking to us about all sorts of things. So I just want to welcome Jamie to the podcast. Welcome to Persistent Broads, Jamie.
Thank you, Lauren. I am so much of a persistent broad. I can identify with that name in so many ways. This is very near and dear to my heart, and I am honored to be your first guest.
I love it. Well, since you are our first guest, we're going to have you intro yourself and maybe tell us a little bit about what makes you a persistent broad.
Absolutely. So I'm Jamie Birch Elliott, like you said. Why am I a persistent broad? You know, I think I came out of the womb a persistent broad. I remember in middle school, I started a chant in the lunchroom surrounding the Bush v. Gore election, and it broke out into like a semi, as much of a ruckus as a middle school lunchroom can cause in rural Iowa. It was pretty out of control, and it was never my intention. I just was having political conversations at the lunch table as, you know, a preteen.
As you do, yeah.
So I have been a persistent broad since then. And then I remember watching the news with my mom every day and asking my mom, like, why is this happening? What can we do about it? And she said, we vote. And so I got way into that, and fast forward to here, and here we are. And so I am at Planned Parenthood. Side note, we're Planned Parenthood Advocates of Iowa now.
Oh, new name.
So you don't, I mean, the transition is new for everyone, so we're all getting used to it. But before I was at Planned Parenthood is when I started really venturing into what I call now fat feminism. And so I carry that with me to Planned Parenthood, and it isn't the center of my work there. And so what comes out of my mouth today is more, I think I need to say this for the record, what comes out of my mouth today is more my own personal belief and not necessarily me representing Planned Parenthood. So just side note there, particularly any cussing that comes out of my mouth or, you know, anything on those levels.
Generally, none of us are speaking on behalf of our organizations when we come in here, so you're
just
good.
To make that very, very clear, in my, well, my side hustle as a millennial is a yoga teacher. And so I became a yoga teacher because I was a fat person doing yoga, and I had a lot of questions about how it worked in my body, and nobody could answer those being a fat person doing yoga. And so I consulted the Googles, and the Googles didn't produce very much information for me at the time. Though now, if you consult the Googles on being a fat person doing yoga, you can get an abundance of information. But at the time, there was no information on a fat person doing yoga. And so I thought to myself, I got to become a yoga teacher. And so I did. And so that sent me down this rabbit hole of, you know, every day I wake up and I live an activist life or whatever that means. But everything I do is an act of activism, I think. And so I turned my yoga practice into an act of activism. And so I started Curvy Yoga DSM. And essentially it's me being a fat person teaching yoga from time to time. So if you're fat and you do yoga, I can answer your questions. Or if you're fat and you work out and you're like, why does this happen in my body? Or I don't see anybody that looks like me anywhere, I can answer your questions.
You were telling me before we started this about a book you were reading called The Fuck It Diet by Carolyn Dooner. Could you maybe go into a little bit about that?
I'd be honored. So I picked up The Fuck It Diet at the library.
Shout out to libraries.
Side note, the public library is such an incredible place. Can I go on a public library tangent
Please
for a minute?
Please do. We love libraries.
So you know that feeling when you walk into a bookstore and, like, it just feels so good and it smells good and the vibes are good? You get that from the public library. But here's the thing about the public library. You get to take the books home with you for free. And you must return them. But you get, like, 3 weeks. And that's a significant amount of time. And so you know how you want to go into a bookstore and just fill your arms with books and it's so happy and you feel so good? You get that at the public library. And I love that. And then, so the Des Moines Public Library has a drive-thru. A drive-thru, people. You can reserve your book and then go through the drive-thru and they give you your book and you don't have to get out of the car. And I just have to say, I haven't utilized that until this year and I don't know what I was waiting for. But side note, go get my action item for you today, listener, is to go get a library card. And if you don't have a library card or if you already have a library card, walk into that public library and, like, soak in the vibes. It's so good. So anyway, I picked up The Fuck It Diet because sometimes I like to walk into the library to get my books, and the drive-thru has not great hours for an organizer / activist, right? Because you're, like, working and grinding all the time. So I walked into the library, which is a gift, and I saw this book called The Fuck It Diet, and people had mentioned it to me before, but I picked it up. Is in, like, my stack of books because I always check out, like, 5 books at a time. Here's the thing. Also, you don't have to read them all. Like, it doesn't cost anything to take home all these books.
You can also get ebooks, which require, like, zero effort on your part.
You
it's
click
great.
Some buttons on your electronic device. That
it's
is
the greatest.
Yeah. Ebooks, audio books.
I went to a wedding a couple weeks ago, and before I left, I loaded up, like, 7 books on my iPad so that I could read and listen on the train and just while I was there. And it was the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah. So anyway, I picked up The Fuck It Diet and I started reading it. And I normally try, like, my reading is my escape. My reading is not where I am an activist. I read, like, the most escapist things that I can muster, anything from raunchy romance to out there sci-fi to...
There has been, like, a resurgence of, like, feminist romance novels, though, which is very interesting. And we is a topic for another time.
Yes, but... and I need to get on that train. I haven't yet. I'm still in the, like, trashy, problematic book fate. Like, no,
we all get there in our own time.
Yeah. So I started reading The Fuck It Diet, and Caroline Dooner, you may never listen to this podcast, but you spoke directly to my soul. The Fuck It Diet is this concept that diets are actually doing more harm to our bodies than good. And it's this concept that while the author of this book is not a doctor, she has spent a lot of time researching this, and there are pages and pages and pages of citations at the end of the book. Like, this is evidence-based stuff, that healthcare has been put in this box, like, this obesity epidemic might not be because, well, first of all, that's it's rooted
if I can,
in institutionalized
that word, yeah. That phrase again.
Yeah. So, like, the obesity epidemic is actually institutional racism and classism problem. It's not actually a problem with kids eating unhealthy. Well, it is a problem with kids eating unhealthy foods, but actually, and not moving their bodies
in a
meaningful
way. But it's more about,
way.
Like, what resources are available to them that would allow them to get this kind of food, which also leads into, like, how we fund SNAP and food stamps and the culture surrounding that.
100%. And so I just listened. I also, you know, I just listened to Michelle Obama's book, and I, thinking about like the Let's Move initiative, there were actually like, you know, I love Michelle Obama, but that was like your fave is problematic moment, you know, yeah. Like, the Let's Move initiative, focusing so much on the size and look of children's bodies, like putting the look of people's bodies ahead of their actual genuine health. That's problematic.
I mean, I mean, just this year, Weight Watchers released like a junior version of their program, which Ouch. Is, yeah, not great, Bob.
So, you know, the thing about the fuck it diet is that dieting has put our bodies into a constant famine response, which actually makes our bodies think that by not eating when you're hungry, by not eating the foods that you're craving, even if it's, you know, French fries on a mountain of ice cream, right? If that's what your brain is telling you to eat, your brain will not be satisfied until you have eaten that. And just because you eat that, just because you eat something unhealthy it's not going to ruin your life, A. And B, your body sends you craving signals because it needs something. Maybe your body needs salt and sugar. Maybe your body desperately is asking you to give it fat, because fat actually gives us energy when we ingest it in our food. And so the concept of the fuck it diet is to say fuck it to all diets and fuck it to all concepts of restricting food. That isn't to say if you have a health problem that makes you not able to eat things, that's not where this applies, right? But the concept is like dieting and restricting the foods that we eat prevents our bodies from being healthy. And it has put us in this cycle of, you know, of unhealthy living when we think that we are actually doing something healthy. When you are restricting food to the point that you're starving, but you have conditioned your body to not notice those responses, and then on top of that, you're exercising to the point of exhaustion, you actually don't want to be negative on calories for a day, because in your brain, at its very simple form, your brain thinks that it's in a famine. It thinks that you're in the desert without food or water. And so it makes you hold on to all of your fat. And that makes losing weight hard. And here's the thing, that's actually been now written into our DNA. And so when they say that weight is a genetic problem, they're not kidding, right? And so when you think about, institutionalized racism and classism, and then you think about this concept of dieting and feast and famine, it can send you into like a dark, oh my God, place really quickly. So let's actually like, let's find a way to pivot. And but anyway, all of this to say, don't diet, because it can actually be doing more harm than good. And just eat the fucking cheeseburger if you want the cheeseburger, because your brain will fixate on that. And if you don't feed that to your body, then it thinks it's in a famine. That's the moral of the story.
Yes. And also, going kind of back to your point about how a lot of weight is genetic, like I cannot for life me recall what I was reading at the time, but there is some sort of peer-reviewed study that I'm thinking of, or maybe it's not, but that there is not a lot. There's only so much that you can do about your weight, your body, and how you look and everything. Like, I can't change the color of my eyes. I have brown eyes because this is a podcast, not a visual thing. But there's only so much you can do to change things that are written in your DNA. And like, no amount of salads or things like that is going to change that, like, right, change your DNA, unless you like are like a CRISPR person. And that's like another podcast thing that we don't need to go into.
Ooh, that's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, that is a rabbit hole.
Here's another like radical concept that is so hard for people to wrap their heads around, that is really laid out in the Fuck It Diet, and then a lot of other books that I think that we may bring up here, but it's that fat does not mean if you're a fat, just because someone's fat doesn't mean that they're unhealthy, right? Like you can be a fat person and be super healthy. Like I move my body a lot. I eat a lot of healthy foods. I do that because it feels good and because it serves my body and it gives me the fuel and the energy I need to keep going. I don't do it to punish my body. I don't do it to try to make it look different. I think the whole world could be served by people just living in the bodies that we have. Like if you want to bring down capitalism, which obviously is my like daily goal,
same here.
And like, you know, patriarchy and capitalism, like if I can like bring down those institutions, I'm going to.
Also white supremacy too.
Also white supremacy, right? And so like all of these things are tied into diets. Like diets are capitalism. Diets are the patriarchy. Diets are white supremacy. Through and through. And if you can prove me wrong, I would love to see that. I'd love to see that. Like diets are the sum of what we are fighting on a daily basis. And people in the spaces that I occupy, that is such still a radical concept to them.
It really is. I mean, I don't necessarily have all of the, never mind, forget what that. I can just say, yes, that's, no, you can just continue. Don't put any of what I said in.
So, you know, I think this is something that we need to be talking about. And I work in a very feminist space. Like I am, it's going to work every day is like sailing my ship to the island of Amazon, right? Or nice. Like not the island.
Themyscira.
Yeah, Themyscira, right? It's like I'm surrounded by these Amazon warriors every single day. But it breaks my heart to hear the people that I work with put themselves down about the size of their body, right? Here I am in the space where we're breaking down all of these barriers, and yet people are having conversations with themselves that are negative, and it breaks my heart. And look, I will be the first to say that I don't wake up every day in my body and love it. Like, right, it's a daily thing. Shopping is a nightmare, always and forever.
Fashion is the enemy. No, fashion, it's not.
Well, I mean, it used to be. Yeah. It's a lot better now, right? I think finally, like, we aren't, like, Lane Bryant isn't the only place that I can shop for clothes.
Or Torrid.
Yeah.
Like, which are so... At the end of each spectrum, it's like Lane Bryant is like if you want to dress like kind of like an Ann Taylor, middle-aged, almost like frumpy. And then Torrid is like everything is black lace and has skulls on it. And there is nowhere to find just like a white t-shirt or jeans until like Old Navy expanded. And I mean, even then, their selection is pretty good, but not always great. Right. And then Target expanded. So more in the fast fashion, I think, is catching on. But like a lot of the more high-end stuff. I mean, the most high-end one that I can really think of right now is Eloquii, which like I love. But it's amazing and everything. But like, again, the choice out there is so much smaller if you are even just the average-sized woman in America right now.
Right. Side note, what is like the average size these days? Like 16?
It's 14 to 16. 14 to 16, like
which for those of you that don't know, I mean, that's considered plus size, which is outrageous to me.
Which I mean, like also sizing in women's clothing is really the enemy because there's no standardized any sort of system of standardized sizing. And then you have to, that's why size charts are so difficult to decipher. And I mean, one of the books that I've listened to on this topic is called Things No One Will Tell Fat Girls. And one of the things that Jess Baker, who wrote that, brought up is kind of like having like diet culture and all of this focus on like beauty and exercise and all of this stuff, which like exercise is not the problem. Like it's the kind of punishing exercise is a way to keep all of us kind of like busy and distracted while all these other people are making decisions about like what birth control you can take, how you can control your own reproductive destiny, where, how much you're going to be paid, where you can go to school. All of these things that have just been like, that are very important, that they have put, they've just put us into our little boxes and hope that we don't pay attention.
100%. Like, hit the nail on the head, right? Like, diet culture has also contributed to, you know, why we can't just, we being people with a uterus or present as women, can't walk down the street without being catcalled or whatever the hell. Like, yeah, fat women still get catcalls, by the way. Where do you want to go with this? Because I'm a rambler and I could ramble all the time. And also, like, this bitch loves a microphone. So, like, give me a microphone and you're going to have to pry it out of my narcissistic hands.
Well, one of the things that I put on our outline was about representation for fat bodies on screen now, which has been, has been such a, I think we're not living in a renaissance time. We are living in a golden age of television. I will be the first to say that because there is so much television.
Oh my gosh. So side note, I love the public library. I have also started to really love television.
It's great. My recommendation for this week is His Dark Materials on HBO if you have it, which is really good. But one of the things that I really enjoyed this year was that we finally got a fat protagonist whose entire plotline was not about losing weight or being like the Jamie is snapping.
Can you hear my snaps?
That's was not snapping. About like how much she lost, how much weight she lost, or being seen for. It was about her being seen for herself and also making decisions about her own future. Like, she has an abortion in the first episode.
Oh my gosh, like, there is an abortion in the first episode, and it's just the most low key thing in the entire world, right? Like, it is representing. Gosh, it is representing abortion in the way that abortion should be presented, right? Also, if you ever want someone to come and yell abortion on your podcast, I'm your lady.
We'll just scream
broad, if you will.
Yes, we'll just scream gay rights and abortion into the microphone.
Or like, yeah. Anyway, fun game to play when you take me to a bar is how soon will Jamie start arguing about reproductive rights? And how soon will she be, she being me, how soon will she be yelling abortion in the bar to see who she can get into some fisticuffs?
This sounds like a great game. I would love to play it.
It has never gotten to the point of fisticuffs, but, you know, it's a fun game. It's not actually always a fun game for like my people that don't work in reproductive rights. 'Cause sometimes they have to be like, hi, Jamie, we can't say abortion in front of my family, okay? Thanks.
Shrill was groundbreaking in several ways and not only had one plus-size character, had an entire cast, including, what's her name? Lolly. Hang on, I'm going to look this up, so hang on.
Pause for Google.
Yeah.
Hey, Google.
So not only did Shrill have a fat protagonist, there is also, she's not the only fat person in the show. Her roommate, her name is Annie in the show, but her name in real life is Lolly Edifope. I'm sorry if it's wrong. If you're out there listening, Lolly, I'm very sorry. Please come on the podcast and tell me how to say your last name. And then there is one of the best parts of that series is this pool party that she goes to, where it's just like the world opens up and it's just all fat women. And I bet some probably non-binary people as well, who are just in their element, loving life, wearing amazing swimsuits and amazing outfits. And you really get to see how confident everyone is. And that's not how people who are fat are shown on screen. It's always like someone who's trying to diet. It's the funny sidekick best friend who's like basically the main protagonist therapist.
Which I think that is how I have ended up being like everyone's funny friend.
Same here.
Because like I am funny and I'm also fat, but I am also like I lean heavily into that like, okay, so I'm thinking Pitch Perfect.
Yes.
Right?
Fat Amy. Yeah.
Yeah. Fat Amy. Like I am through and through Fat Amy. But anyway, yeah, but like fat people on television and in movies, fat, you know, fat women or people that present as women have been, they're never the main character. They're never, you know, the person that's front and center. Like they're always a side person or they're always trying to diet. And that's problematic, right? And so I'm glad to see that television is starting to notice that they can put fat people on shows.
Yeah, Shrill was one of the best shows, but also the movie Dumplin', which was based on a book mm-hmm. written by a fat woman about a fat protagonist who loves Dolly Parton, which I mean, I really related to because I also love Dolly Parton and I'm a fat person. And it was such a different thing from all of the teen movies that I had watched as like a person growing up in like the mid 2000s, early 2010s. If I had seen this movie back then, I probably would have had an entirely different experience, like coming to terms with like how I feel about my body. And I also feel like if Booksmart had also come out when I was in high school, I would have felt a lot of different things differently. But I'm glad that we're finally getting to this point where like we can show these kind of people as like, we're all just people. And some of us love Dolly Parton. Some of us love Cher. Some of us love both, me included.
Right. And so, you know, I think if any of listeners take away one thing, it would be that, you know, just let fat people be fat. And also, we don't want to hear about your diet.
No. Well, thank you so much, Jamie, for coming in and speaking with me about all things fat feminism. And
I mean, we barely scratched the surface. I know.
This could be its own series, honestly.
I mean, there are entire podcasts that center around this.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll just have to have you come back.
I love that idea. This was honestly the time of my life. I want to do a quick shout out to like the people that came that have helped me come this far on my fat journey, and it's people that I will never know or meet, but I think that they deserve credit because I've said a lot of things today like that I have absorbed into my brain and like reprocessed, but a lot of what I have talked about today aren't things that I came up with in my own brain, but I don't know who said what, but I do like some credit goes to Roxane Gay.
Yes.
Lindy West.
Roxane Gay is engaged now. It's
what?
Yes. But continue. Yeah. Lindy West is also Grace.
Is amazing. Caroline Dooner, who wrote The Fuck It Diet, love. Jessamyn Stanley.
Yes.
A fellow fat yogi. And now that I'm naming people, I'm going to leave them out. But I would say those people primarily are the folks that I carry with me on my fat feminism journey. And there are always, Samantha Irby.
Love Samantha Irby.
I would, A.D. Bryant for being like a proud fat woman on television and on SNL. And I think it's why I watch SNL.
I want A.D. Bryant to play me in a movie someday.
Oh my gosh, me too.
But again, thank you so much. And we will put, we will put all of those people either in the show notes or on Twitter or somewhere in the internet verse. But thank you again for coming.
Thanks, Lauren. I'm so glad to be here.
Thanks for listening. And remember, it's hard out here for a broad. Persistent Broads is part of the Potluck Media Network and would not be possible without grassroots supporters like you. We are recorded, mixed, and edited by Greg Hauenstein. For more information, visit potluck.fm and find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to leave us a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks for listening.